tonight. I'd like to turn with us to just a portion of reading. It's probably one of the most familiar, some of the most familiar scripture in the Bible, but it deals with a group of people that I believe we have here tonight. Matthew chapter 5, and we'll start our reading with the first verse. And I believe this is talking to some children of the Lord. I believe this is talking about those that have been saved by the grace of God. And you'll notice a theme in these verses of Scripture, and it's blessed. Blessed. And if we could title our message tonight, it would be blessed. It says, "And seeing the multitudes," we'll start with the first verse. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye which men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Going on just a little bit, it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Is it thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men? Ye are the light of the world." Who are the ye? The disciples that were with him, his disciples that came with him. I believe, I'm going to read just a couple more verses, but I believe the ye's and the blessed is the disciples that were there with him. I believe there was a great multitude, and the Lord kind of got up in the mountain away from them to teach his disciples a few things here. And I think it's important to note that the people that were here were going to eventually be what we would know as the church of the true and the living God. It says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill, and it cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." That's 20 verses of the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I want to note a few things about God's people. You know, as I began to think about this, and I began to think about some of the things that took place here today, and so I was driving back from Indiana last night. Of course, we hadn't got to the service yet, but I began to pray for what was going to take place in this church today, and in the morning service and tonight's service. And my mind began to go back to when I grew up in church. And you know, I remember a lot of things about those time periods. I remember before I ever realized that I was lost, that God's people were a blessed group of people. Now, when I say blessed, I don't mean that always being a child of God means you're going to have a whole lot of money. I don't mean that being a child of God means that you're going to be blessed with Cadillacs and BMWs and Lincolns and Audis or whatever kind of car you want to name off. And if you have those kind of cars, that's fine. But I don't necessarily mean that blessings come only physically. You know, I've grown up around people, as you experience today in what we would call in the Missionary Baptist Church an experience meeting, where people began to tell about what God has done for them. You'll find that God's people are some of the most blessed people that there ever have been, and I believe that there ever will be. You can go a lot of places, and no doubt tonight, as I was coming over here, I began to think about the football games that were going on, and you think, preacher, what's that got to do with your message tonight? There are a lot of people that have gathered a whole lot of places to do something or to watch something that has no amount of anything toward God. There's a whole lot of people who spend a whole lot of money to go to those things to get a few minutes of enjoyment. And maybe the world would say they're blessed to be there. But I believe some of the most blessed things that you can ever have is to be in the house of God. You see, I believe tonight that some of the most blessed people on this side of eternity are under this roof in this house tonight. Many of you I've heard testimonies from. We've got two new ones that have told us that they've been saved. We're thankful for that. You see, I believe that you really cannot understand the blessings from God until you've been saved by His grace. You might have the world, but if you don't have God, you're not blessed like you ought to be. People today spend more money per capita, and probably because of the inflation and different things, than they ever have on things that will rot away. You know, things that will not make you happy, things that will never fulfill that desire within us. You see, people today, I have this problem with bragging about things. You know, people get things and the first thing they want to do is tell somebody about it. Look what I have. Look how blessed that I am. Now, I want to say this. There's nothing wrong with working and getting things. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, sometimes we look at things and we say, boy, they're blessed. Look at all that they have. Boy, they're blessed. You know, sometimes physical things, they come with a price. Sometimes the things of this life, they only look temporarily at what they are. They don't last forever. You see, the blessings of God, they shall last forever. The most blessed people tonight are not those that live in the big houses on the hills tonight, but those that have been saved by the grace of God. They have an eternal blessing that you can't buy. You can't go to a football game and experience the blessings that we experience in this church house. You can't go anywhere and buy the things that God does for us. People seek out entertainment in their churches, in their lives. But I'm going to tell you tonight, the most blessed thing that I've ever done was get saved, unite with His church, set my candle on the candlestick. Oh, what a blessing that has been in my life. As Jesus began to preach to His disciples, and to be a disciple of Christ, you have got to be saved. In order to follow the Lord, you've got to be saved. You cannot follow God until you have been saved. The world today, I watched a short video of a man that pastored a megachurch here in Nashville, and he resigned today. And he said, I wanted to create a place where people could belong before they believed. I thought, preacher, you've got that all mixed up. You can't belong to the Lord's house or belong to the Lord's church until you've been saved. You can't be His disciple and you can't follow Him until you've been saved. By His grace, you wouldn't even know how to follow Him unless there was something in there that would lead, guide, and direct you. You wouldn't know about it if there wasn't something in there. You know what God does? He places His Spirit in there and He tugs on it from time to time. He lets us know when we're supposed to be doing something. But these were His disciples. Men and women that He had saved. Those that were following Him. They'd followed Him up into this mountain. Some people think that the church was established here. I'm not going to get into an argument about that, but I'm going to say these people that were here, they would eventually be the ones that would go into the church. I do believe that. But you think about this message that he preached to them. What a profound thing. And he didn't just stop at the 20th verse either. He taught them about murder and anger. Taught them about temptation. He taught them about divorce. Taught them about taking oaths and forgiveness. Loving your enemies and giving and praying. Fasting and talking about what waited for us when we left this world, treasures. He talked about worry and being judged, asking, receiving. He talked about to the lost people. He talked about the straight and the wide gates, the false prophets. He talked about the rock and the sand foundations. If I got up here and preached all that, you all would have me strung up somewhere and run me out of here for preaching that long. But I guarantee you, these men, as they gathered in there to hear this message from the mouth of the one that would eventually die for them, can you just imagine what a blessing it must have been to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ and listen to the sermon that He preached to them? Why, they're listening to something that would eventually be written down so that you and I could meet on September 11, 2016 on a night service at Mount Calvary Church and listen to the things that our Savior would preach and are still applicable to us today. And He called them blessed. He called them blessed. Let's go through some of the things that He said to them. I want to try to go through this, and maybe I'll preach this message a little different than I normally do, and that's okay. You don't always have to preach the messages in the same way to get the point across. But He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What a blessing that is. Poor in spirit. You look over in the Old Testament. Usually when you heard them talk about being poor, it meant that they were going to call out to the Lord. It meant that they were lowly. And they realized that they had to call out on something greater than they were. But it says they were poor in spirit. Blessed are you who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say blessed are the rich. Now, before I get too far off on this, I'm going to chase one rabbit really quickly. I don't think it's wrong to have things in this life. There are just some jobs, some things we do, we're able to accrue things, we're able to make money and to live comfortably. You say, "Preacher, you're awful hard on rich people." The Bible speaks about rich people. And He says it's hard for those that are rich to bring themselves to a low point because they have pride. Now, I'm not saying that is an all-encompassing thing, that everybody that has this is like that. But you see, those that realize just how weak and lowly and meek that they are, they're willing to call out on an Almighty God. If you thought that you had everything, you would not be willing to drop yourself down and call on an Almighty God. You see, we have got to be poor in spirit coming to the Lord. And sometimes being saved, we get a little poor in spirit. What does it say? "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Those may be poor, but theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says that my Father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I might be poor as anything there is tonight, but my Father's rich in houses and land. He owns everything. What a blessing that is. My earthly father does not own the cattle on a thousand hills. And he's not rich in houses and land. Oh, but my heavenly Father is. He owns it all. And because of that, we're blessed. It says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." You realize what it means to mourn? Boy, it seems like these people of God, they've got it rough. They're poor and they're mourning. Sometimes we have to mourn. Sometimes in the work of God, God's people must mourn. They must bring themselves low so that they'll call on an Almighty God. Sometimes our churches have to mourn. Sometimes our people, our pride, our churches have to be kicked and brought low so that we realize just how much that we need God. It says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. What's going to give us comfort? The only thing they can, the Holy Spirit. You know, the only people that have the Holy Spirit are those that have been saved. For as many as are led by God, they are the children of God. I believe I used that verse of Scripture last week in preaching to you about the family of God. But it talks about they shall be comforted. He tells them, He says, I will send you another comforter. Knowing that Jesus was there with them. Physically, they could reach out and touch Him. But He would not always be there with them. They had to have something that would comfort them. What comforts me tonight is the Holy Spirit. A lot of times, we get to feeling low. We start mourning. Oh, and the Lord comes by and wraps us up in the arms of His Holy Spirit and loves on us. What a comfort that is that He does that. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the heaven in heaven. You know, the meek, sometimes we look at people and they're meek. They don't make a big show about things. They're just humble people. You see, in the service to God, we're supposed to be humble. We're supposed to be lowly so that God can use us. You say, preacher, it doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun to be a child of God. But if you'll hold on with me for just a few more minutes, I'm going to show you the people of God. They are blessed. They might not have a lot on this side of eternity. They may not ever have the things that the world says we've got to have. But if we've got God, we've got it all. What a joy. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, if you're going to be a leader in this world, you're going to have to be someone with some charisma about yourself. You'll have to be someone that can go out and rally the masses. Usually the meek don't work too well when it comes to being a politician. Because if you're meek and you want to hide behind everybody else, you're not going to be one to get everybody together. You're not going to get their support. It says the meek, what? Shall inherit the earth. God's people are supposed to be meek. We might not be the leaders that some are in this world, but it says we're going to inherit the earth. We shall be those that do that. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I believe a child of God should be hungry and thirst after righteousness. Every day, we ought to be more hungry for righteousness and thirsty for that righteousness than we've ever been. You know, I believe also, if you're ever going to be saved, you're going to have to be hungry for salvation. You're going to have to want it more than anything in this world. Nobody has ever been saved that didn't want to be saved. If you didn't want to be saved, you wouldn't get saved. The Bible says you've got to call out on Him. You wouldn't call out on Him if you didn't want Him. But if you hunger and you thirst after this righteousness that only comes from God above, it says you shall be filled. There's a void in this world. And it's growing deeper and deeper and deeper every day. And it needs to be filled with the only thing that it can be filled with. And that is the love and the compassion and the grace of Jesus Christ. That's what we're filled with when the Lord saves our soul. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Every one of us that have experienced salvation has experienced mercy. You have experienced the opportunity for you to go from hell to heaven. You have experienced being guilty of a murder and getting off. You have experienced being as guilty as anybody has ever been that has withstood a trial and somebody being an advocate for you. Blessed are they which are merciful to those around them. You know why that we're merciful, should be merciful? Because we understand what it's like for someone to give us mercy. If you've never known the mercy of a Savior who loves you, you can't truly understand what it means to have mercy on anybody else. until somebody's had mercy on you. I'm glad He had mercy on me. Because without Him, there's an old song, it says, without Him, how lost I would be. Just how lost I would be, but He had mercy. I'm going to have to hurry along. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know why that we can be peacemakers? It's because on the inside of us, there's not something within us that's in turmoil anymore. You know, a lot of the things that happen in our society, it's not because God is a mean, vengeful, evil God. He's not those things. But it's because we live in a world where people are so filled with evil, conniving energy, hate, and deceit. Brothers and sisters, the world is full of those people. And you don't have to go far tonight to find somebody who wants to deceive you or that hates you. You don't have to go far to find someone like that. Boy, people today are just filled with envy and strife. This world overtakes them and it hurts them and it encompasses them and it wraps them up in the things of the world and it makes them hard to be around. That's why this world is in the shape that it's in. Because the meek aren't in control. You've got leaders who are full of hate and deceit and envy and strife. But it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be the children of God. Why is that? I've told you a lot. I'm going to continue to preach it. As long as God allows me to preach, I'm going to preach that people get changed. I have seen people that I thought would never, ever, ever, ever get saved. People that were hateful and mean. You see them on the street and you would walk across the street to go by them so you didn't have to talk to them. But you see those people get saved and it changes their life. You know what salvation does? It cleans you up from the inside out. It makes you an altogether different person. Why is that? Because you get peace. You go from being hateful and filled with things of this world, a world and sin and all of those things. They encompass your life and all at once they're removed and you have peace. The tumult and the hurt, the raging storms within you, they're gone. And you can become a peacemaker. Someone who understands the perfect peace of an almighty God. This world can't understand peace like that. Because they've never experienced it. But the children of God can, because blessed are they, for they're peacemakers. I truly believe this. Those that are saved would rather see peace than they would rather see an uproar. They would rather see a church or a group of people be in harmony and unity than they would rather see some people upset and mad and ready to start a fight at any hand. That's why I'm so thankful that I'm here at Mount Calvary, because this place is full of unity and love. I believe there are some peacemakers in this place. Why? Because they're the children of God and because they're blessed. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What did it talk about? About the poor in spirit. The first blessed was that they would inherit the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Children of God, God's people, have always faced persecution. Ever since the beginning of time, God has been persecuted. He has been beaten and trodden on, and people have disputed Him ever since the beginning of time. And it all began with this little serpent. Well, he may not have been too little, but he came walking in. He wasn't sliding around at this time. He came walking into the Garden of Eden, and oh, he planted that seed in old Eve's head. Ever since that time, somebody's had it out for God and His cause. You can bet on it. Anywhere God's people are, the devil's not far. Why is that? Because he'd like to ensnare every single one of you. I preached to them at Fellowship the last night of their revival, and I said he would deceive the very elect
if He could. That's what the Bible says. He would deceive us if He could. But He knows that He can't. So He tries everything in this world to destroy you and I. He would love. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm as happy as I can be right now. Because I know the devil is mad at Mount Calvary Church. And I know he's mad at every single one of you all. And I'm sure somewhere, if he was anything like a 12-year-old kid, he'd be stomping that foot and as mad as he could be, ready to just rip our heads off because people are getting saved and uniting with our church. He probably thought, I've got that church on the way out. They're gone, wiping them off the face of the earth. There's not going to be a light there anymore, but blessed are they which endure persecution, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The devil knows he's lost. Oh, he'd love to have a victory here at Mount Calvary. You know what this church has to do from this point on, and it should be doing, and I believe it is doing it. But something it must do is protect itself. It's got to put its shield up. It's got to be ready for anything that walks through those doors, or when we walk through those doors, be ready ourselves to withstand any temptation and persecution that comes our way, because he would love to destroy us. He'd love that. But you see, Mount Calvary, we're not going to let him do that. We're not going to let the devil win. I put in the bulletin, go fight win. Mount Calvary is strong. We are strong. Why? Because we're blessed. Why? Because ours is the kingdom of heaven. I've got to move along. He said, blessed are ye who? Those disciples. Us today. He's still talking to us through this. He said, when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake, the Scripture says, if they hate you, remember that they hated me first. Remember that if somebody doesn't like what you're doing, if they don't like what you stand for, remember that they hated Jesus Christ first. They hated what He came and He did. They hated that He came and preached that He was the King. Roman government couldn't stand that. Made them just mad. You know, that's why He went to the cross, because He ticked off enough people that they finally went after Him. Brothers and sisters, if that's what it takes to win lost people, it's persecution, for people to revile us, to hate us, it's okay, because we remember that they hated Him first. They didn't like Him. Wanted to get rid of Him, and guess what? Oh, they thought they did. Till that old centurion, right after he'd been crucified, and the veil was rent from top to bottom, the great earthquake came. And you know what he said? Surely, surely this was the Son of God. I believe, and you can disagree with me, I don't believe the Bible says this, but I believe that centurion, I believe he got saved. It says many believed after that. It took Jesus dying on a cross to save people. What an anomaly that is. If it took Him dying for our sins to show those there that day that they were going to hell and they needed a Savior. Guess what? If His cross led Him down the road of Jerusalem up to the cross or the hill at Golgotha, if our same pathway leads to a cross somewhere where we must be tortured and killed for what we believe in, blessed. I believe it was one of the apostles in the Bible. At least the theory is, I don't believe it says it in the Scriptures. Maybe it does, I'm not exactly sure, so maybe I ought not be quoting this. But I'm going to anyways. One of the apostles, I believe, the legend has it that he was crucified upside down. Because he wouldn't even be crucified like his Savior. Maybe Peter, and I'm not sure that right off the top of my head. Some of you shaking your head yes, so maybe I'm right. Peter being crucified. Can you just imagine him saying, please, do something different to me. You can take my life. But I'm not even worthy to die the same death that my Savior died. If that's what it takes for me, if that's what my destination is, may I be willing to go. Because the next verse says this. Even if persecution comes, Rejoice. Rejoice. Preacher, how in the world could we rejoice? Because we're blessed. How are we blessed if it seems like we get the lower hand of everything? How could you be blessed? Some of you this morning stood up and you said, I just want to thank the Lord for saving my soul. I look around tonight and I don't see people that are going to be on Forbes' top 50 list this next year for being billionaires. I don't see that. I'll be honest with you, I don't have a whole lot in this world. To be quite truthful with you, I don't want a whole lot. The more you've got, sometimes the more you've got to take care of. We look at physical things and we say, preacher, I want. I've got to have. But you know, when it boils right down to things, you don't have to. I heard Brother, I believe his name is Steve York, say at the ministry school a couple years ago on a Thursday night, he said, it's amazing how you can go from a four-bedroom house that is full to a one-bedroom apartment and still be happy with the Lord. He had to move from Indiana. He pastored a church up there, moved to Florida to pastor Cedars of Lebanon Missionary Baptist Church for a short time. We don't understand a lot of times why God's people, we look around and predominantly over the years, Missionary Baptist people have not been rich people. They've not been people that had a whole lot. They've been blue-collar workers for the most part. They've done their jobs. They've taken their place in society. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with doing well. There's nothing wrong with going to get an education and doing something with your life. There's no problem with any of those things. The problem lies in the Scripture that says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. When we have to have so much that it gets in our way of serving the Lord, we don't have to have near as much as we think we've got to have. Those things that we buy and we have, they break, they tear up, they rust, they get old. The car I have, loved it when I bought it, still love it. Drove it about 2,000 miles and a dent was right in the hood because a rock fell off a big dump truck and hit it square in the hood. I was sicker than I've ever been in my life. Just bought the car. But that's just how things go. They're made to tear up. But the blessings of God, while God does bless us physically sometimes, He does. He lets us have the things that we need. I believe anybody, I've heard this a lot. There's been a few people in the Bible that have gone hungry, that were children of God. They did. Remember the rich man? Laid at the rich man's gate, begged bread, begged for crumbs. He may have gotten a little bit, may have gotten just a few things. Didn't sound like he had a whole lot. Just laid at Lazarus' gate, just begging for the things that fell from his table. Boy, we'd look at that and we'd say, well, I don't want any part of that. But you know what? There's a contrast there. The man that had everything, Lazarus, died and went to hell. The rich man was the one that didn't have anything. Lazarus, the one that had it all. Thank you, Sister Jean. I know. See, I've got to have people on my side. I had it mixed up. You all had this look on your face like, what in the world is he telling us? Let me go back and fix this mistake really quickly and then I'm going to close. Lazarus had it all and the rich man didn't have anything. Lazarus laid at the rich man's gate and the rich man was Lazarus. We'll get to that. Lazarus laid at the rich man's gate and he didn't have anything. Begged for that bread, those crumbs. He died and went to Abraham's bosom, which I believe is a type and a shadow of Christ Himself. He had to have something to talk to these Jews about so they would understand when Jesus spoke that parable, told that story. I believe it's a true story. I believe there's a real man named Lazarus in heaven, and I believe there's a rich man who we don't know his name is in hell. But you see, the roles were reversed ultimately. Man who had everything never depended on Jesus to be a Savior. The man who had nothing He called out to the Lord, and he got saved somewhere. It doesn't tell us where, but he did. I'm not saying that you need to go out and sell everything you've got and live in a tent. But sometimes it's okay to just be satisfied with the things that we've been given. Because, brother and sister, God's people are blessed. If you've been saved, you're blessed. You might look around and you might think, I don't have nothing. But if you've been saved, you've got more than anybody else in this world. I want to finish with this verse of Scripture. It says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Rejoice tonight and be exceeding glad, for great is the reward in heaven. We might not ever get to see the ends of the promises. You read over in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the Lord promised those people lots of things. And you know what? Sometimes they never did get to see the ends of those promises. Abraham was promised that his descendants would number more than the sands of the sea. And guess what? He would never see the end of that promise. But the Lord promised it, therefore he got it. You see, Abraham was also promised a home eternal in heaven. And you know what he did get? He got to see the end of that promise on the other side. Blessed. We're blessed tonight. Mount Calvary Church is blessed. The world might look at us, they might drive down the road, and they might look at us and they might say, well, they just don't have a whole lot of cars in the parking lot tonight. Or, boy, they don't have the most updated things in the world, but we're blessed. We're blessed. May God bless you is our prayer. While we stand together, while we sing, maybe before the next time I preach, I'll get Rich Man and Lazarus put in their right place. I'm glad that I have a church that loves me enough to take care of me sometimes. Sometimes I get Noah on and Moses on the ark and I never get him off. So I'm thankful for a church that's able to keep me alive.